All right, well, today we are continuing the theme of the prayers of Jesus in the gospel and the gospels. And so today we are looking at Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, this prayer is one that Jesus reveals his deep agony and his submission and the challenge that he has in obeying the Father's will. And it isn't, now, I have to understand that when we're talking about the submission to the Father's will, if any of you noticed, I didn't notice, and the NCAA wrestling championship was yesterday in Philadelphia, and submission in that realm means somebody gets somebody else in a hold and gets them to submit. You know, give up, I yield, I'm done, don't kill me here, you know. So, whenever we're thinking of Jesus submitting to the will of the Father, it's not a submission hold that God the Father has on Jesus in the garden, forcing him to submit, but it is a submission of heart, desire, will to do what is the will of the Father, the will of God. And so, whenever we are talking about submitting our life to Jesus Christ, we are not talking about God getting us in a chokehold and taking us to the ground. We're talking about being free to make decisions, free to bring ourselves to God, and seeing the will of God before us and praying for God's direction. So that's the submission that we are looking at today. And Jesus, in Matthew chapter 26, verse 36, "Then Jesus came with the disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and said to them, 'Sit down here while I go over there and pray.' Then he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be in terrible distress and misery. 'My heart is nearly breaking,' he told them. 'Stay here and watch with me.'" And then in Luke writes it this way, "In his anguish he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like large drops of blood falling on the ground." Did we find Gethsemane? Gethsemane is a garden. The Garden of Gethsemane is just outside the walls of Jerusalem. So, like, if you have the wall of Jerusalem, that's a painting. You see the trees? There they are. Off to the left is the wall of Jerusalem, and this outside, there's a road that goes just on the other side of these trees, like a horseshoe shape around, and this is called the Garden of Gethsemane. And whenever the guards come out to arrest Jesus on the night of his betrayal, and Judas comes, he comes into this garden, this grove. This is the only place it could be. The Garden of Gethsemane and the olive trees. And they feel that these trees could have been there at the time of Christ. So these are ancient olive trees. They're massive in size. And, no one has cut one down to explore the age. So, but we find that they are there right inside the garden. And it used to be that you could walk around them, but now, of course, they have fences, and you can walk through the garden, but you can't get close to them. And this garden is where Jesus would have been the night that we are reading, what we are reading here. So he would have been in this very location. This isn't like a garden. It's like acres and acres. There's the wall of Jerusalem. It goes down this valley and up the other side, and that's the Mount of Olives. So it's not a big, vast valley. It's just a very small valley that is there in which Jesus is taking place. One of the other things that I don't mention, maybe later, is that Jesus, he tells the disciples that, wake up, it's time to go. The betrayer, Judas, is here. If Jesus would have walked the other direction, if he would have just walked the other direction, there's no street lights. They'd have never seen him. They'd have never found him. He could have walked out of there and this whole thing could, you know, fallen apart. But he knew the will of the Father, and it was here in this garden where this olive grove is, that Jesus prayed these prayers that we are going to look at today. So that place, where this place in Scripture, is that place in Jerusalem, and it's still there. And it's an authentic site. It is the site where this would have all taken place. So we keep that in mind, that when we're reading about this, that Jesus was in this place, this garden, and this is the anguish. These are recorded, his words, by the prophets or by the disciples, inspired by the Holy Spirit, to remind us of what Jesus went through that night. So this is the message that I have today has four parts, and it's of course of the first stage of Christ's suffering, when we get a glimpse into the struggles. Now sometimes we think that Jesus didn't have any struggles, he's divine. No, we got to remember, he set aside his divinity, took on humanity. So he struggles in his humanity, not to like stop the process, but to allow himself to go through the process, to go through this crucifixion and this scourging and this, you know, horrific beating that he is going to undertake and dying on the cross. I mean, this is one of the most horrible deaths that anyone could suffer. And so Jesus is coming to this place in the garden. He's coming, arriving at the, as it were, the, I'm going to say stability, the strength. He arrives at the place that he has conquered the garden. In the garden, he has conquered the cross. Because had he not conquered the cross, he would have walked the other direction. Had he not conquered the pain and all that, because he knew what was coming. He knew what the Romans and the Jewish leaders, the elders, had in mind for him. And he knew how anguish and how painful it would be. And Jesus defeated that in the garden. And this is his way of defeating it. In Isaiah 53, the prophet Isaiah wrote this 700 years, I believe it's 700 years, before the events happened in the garden. But he was wounded, and this is Isaiah talking about Jesus. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment that made us whole was upon him. And by his bruises we are healed. By his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned each of us to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. So this is what's going on when Jesus is in the garden and he's having this deep agony. He turned to the Father in this distress, and he proclaims his dependency upon the Father. One of the things that is important for us is that whenever you pray, you know, whenever we pray, did you ever have contrary thoughts? You know, like, well, should I do this or should I do that? And when we're praying, we're asking for God to sort them out. That's okay. Sometimes people think, well, whenever I pray, I got to make up my mind what I'm doing, and then I tell God what needs to be done. And no, because our dependency is on God for direction, and even if we know the direction, we're asking God for help. Jesus is in the garden, and he is in this place of anguish in his spirit and his soul because he knows what's coming. In our life, sometimes we have to make hard decisions even when we know what's coming. That God will give us the grace and the mercy to go forward. So, our sorrow is not a forbidden, hidden secret. Sometimes people think that, well, if I really have faith and I really believe and God is in charge of all things and my loved one's in heaven and everything is, I'm not to have any sorrow. You know, I had one lady who was told to leave her church. This was years ago. Her husband had died. And she was told to leave her church by some individuals in the church because her sorrow was interrupting their celebration. You know, it's like, okay, people, you are really messed up. You know, your husband's in heaven. Why are you crying in church? It's like, I mean, it's only been a month or so, and you're telling the lady to leave. You know, it's like people don't get that there are individuals in different areas of their life. And the church, the body of Christ, is to be supportive of us no matter where we are at in our journey. No matter where we are at in our experiences, whether we're on top of the mountain or in the garden. That we are to be supportive of each other, but we find, just like Peter and the other disciples, they were not moved as Jesus was, and so they found themselves sleeping while Jesus prayed. And sometimes people find themselves sleeping while other people are in need. So here we are, and it is this Lent season, this time of preparing ourselves for Easter, for the Good Friday. And we find that we are to remind ourselves of what is involved in our salvation, in our forgiveness. There, we are freed from our sins because Christ purchased them. So it wasn't free. It was paid. The price was paid by Jesus. And we find Jesus and his actions here presented in Scripture. 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7 says, "So humble yourselves under God's strong hand, and in his own good time he will lift you up. You can throw the whole weight of your anxieties upon him, for you are his personal concern." So when we see Jesus saying, "Father, if it be possible," he's throwing himself in the weight of all of what's going on inside of him onto the Father. And so it is the same with us. When we have anxieties and anxious and we don't know this and we don't know that and we have differences, no. Take the moments and with certainty, we place them with Christ. We talk them over with him. Our submission to Christ is not the submission of a wrestling tournament. It is not two guys, two women grabbing, putting somebody in submission until they give up. That's not the submission that Christ has for us. The submission that God is looking for is one of trust and understanding. That we submit our will to him and our desires to him. You know, we may not understand why we don't do certain things the way we do, but we do know that as we trust the Lord, he will help us in each of those situations. We're not giving up. We're not throwing in the towel. That's a boxing analogy. That when the opponent is just totally beating up on the other guy, the corner of the guy who's getting beat up can just throw in the towel. That means as we quit, you know. So we're not throwing in the towel. We're not giving up. And it is a surrender to Christ, knowing that we are willfully and freely understanding he has a better way. The second request is Jesus' prayer, requesting yet submitting to God's will. He has a request, but he also has a submission. My Father, verse 26:39 of Matthew, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet, must not be what I want, but what you want." Mark says it this way, "Dear Father, all things are possible to you. Please, let me not have to drink this cup. Yet, it is not what I want, but what you want." Submission. Doing the will of the Father. It's interesting. I didn't think of it this way until I was writing this and saw what other people had written. That when Jesus is saying to God the Father, let not the, you know, let this cup pass from me, that he was praying that he would not have to die. No. Jesus was praying that he would not have to be separated from the Father. You see, when we have this, you know, we have this idea of hell, okay? Hell, separation from God. It's that place where, you know, the guy with the horns and the pitchfork runs around and people are, you know, having a party and whatever. When, if you want to have a picture of what hell is, look at Jesus and what he does not want to experience. Jesus does not want to experience separation from the Father. Because that separation is hell. It is total agony. It is, you know, it's never happened in all of eternity. And Jesus, taking on the sin of the world, is taking on all of our sins that would cause us to be separated from the Father and spend an eternity in separation. Jesus is saying, God, I don't want to experience that. Father, I don't want to have this happen. I don't want that. Please, let this cup, there's got to be another way. And he also says here in this, in verse, he says, all things are possible. God, all things are, Father, all things are possible. Let this cup pass from me. There's got to be a way. So this is the anguish that's going on in the human side of Jesus. He doesn't want that separation. Don't make me, don't, he's not making him, don't allow me to be separated from you. And, you know, that's the anguish that Jesus has experienced, the humanity of Jesus. And he's struggling with that. See, for us to encounter struggles, it's normal. But one thing we must always remember, Jesus is with us. He is never separated from us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. So we are in this together with Jesus, and we can see how Jesus knows what it is like to go through struggles, but he has promised that we would never be in that same position as he is. All of these events, they're connected to us. They're very much a part of our life and part of our faith. It's part of who we are as an individual, part of our relationship with God. It's all part, it comes together as we and God are together in this whole thing. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he made him to be sin for us, meaning Jesus. He was made to be sin, that he took upon himself the sin. He who knew no sin, he who had never done anything wrong, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We might become righteous, right relationship with God. And this, Jesus is going through this agony for you and I. He's going through this time of struggle so that we would never experience what he is praying to the Father. Please don't let this happen. Jesus acknowledges God's power. He declares all things are possible, but submits to the Father's perfect will. Sometimes we pray, God, I know everything, all things are possible. But we pray this, God, this is how we want this to happen in our life. And God doesn't do that. Oh, that's a lack of, no, it's not a lack of faith. It's not a lack of anything, but it's the will of God being worked out in our life. And God promises to give us the strength as we are going through these difficulties. This is the challenge of the Christian faith when we know that everything is possible, but yet the answer we prefer is not happening. Submit to the will of the Father. Not my own will, but thine be done. He doesn't have a chokehold on us. He has his hand on our heart. And we can know that in his presence and his hands we are safe. Our submission can be like that of Jesus, bringing our desires and struggles to God, but we must be willing to trust. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. It says, do not rely or depend upon our own understanding. In all your ways, think of him, acknowledge him, obey him, and he will direct your path. Trust, lean, think of, acknowledge. You know, in the Sunday school lesson, it says that knowledge of God, in the Old Testament, knowledge does not mean I know the Ten Commandments. It is saying I know him. It's a relational experience. It isn't that I know all the commandments. I am in a relational experience with knowing God, and these commandments are a way of my life. You see, Jesus came against the Pharisees and the Sadducees because they knew everything they were supposed to do, and yet it wasn't in their heart. So he's telling them, you really don't know me. The third part of this message, Jesus in his second and third prayer, Matthew 26, 42. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. So you see the back and forth discussion. The first was, if it's possible, God, and all things are possible, let this cup pass from me. The second prayer says, if this cannot pass, unless I drink it, your will be done. This shows the complete surrender of Jesus. His complete surrender to the will of the Father. And Jesus knew this was coming. This was not a failure. You know, some skeptics have said, well, Jesus tried every way he could to influence his society, and so he ended up dying for his false beliefs. It's crazy. You know, this was the whole reason he came. It was the whole purpose for his life and his death was to provide salvation and a relational experience that we can have with God. Well, Jesus was strengthened and he was submitting. The disciples were sleeping. Mark 14, 37 and 38. Then he came and found them fast asleep. He spoke to Peter, are you asleep, Simon? Couldn't you manage to watch for a single hour? Watch and pray, all of you, that you may not have to face temptation. Your spirit is willing, but the human nature is weak. Sometimes our friends fail us. Sometimes the people we are counting on aren't there. But you see, our faith means accepting God's answers, even whenever we don't like what they are. Just as Jesus prayed persistently, we are allowed to pray persistently. And if, you know, I don't like this answer, we pray again. I still don't like the answer, we pray again. You know, it's not, you know, God doesn't get upset with our prayers. God doesn't get upset with our questions. He is here to walk with us, and so we are trying to figure this out. We have our human nature, and we have our human desires, and we have human things that we like and don't like, but yet there is a spiritual part of us that is greater than our physical part. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 says, rejoice always and pray constantly. Rejoice always and pray constantly. And so the idea is rejoice knowing that God is in control, but pray about everything so you have a peace within your heart. The fourth, Jesus strengthened and resolved. Matthew 26, 46. So he left them and went away again and prayed for the third time using the same words as before. Using the same words, three times he prays. using the same words as before. So you see, it's like, are you sure about this? I know there's another way. Isn't there another way? Do I have to do this? And Jesus, we would think, well, he can do anything. He can walk on water, raise the dead. He can surely, find another way to find salvation for the world by not dying, and he can't. There is no other way. So he left him the third time, and then he came back to his disciples and spoke to them. Are you guys still sleeping? Take your ease. In a moment you will see the Son of Man betrayed into the hands of evil men. Wake up. Let us be going. Look, here comes my betrayers. What was agony and sweat, drops of blood and turmoil and all the anguish of his soul, knowing of the separation that was coming between he and the Father, and the pain of the scourging and the crucifixion and all of that that would be laid upon him, and the humility of dying on the cross, all of that would come to him. And he says, Father, it's okay. Goes over to the disciples and said, get up, guys. It's time to go. Those who betray me and who are going to take me away, they're coming. Let's go meet them. That's a far cry, a far distance from the prayer of God, don't let this happen, to Father, it is going to happen, and this was what the plan was from the beginning. I am your son. I am the Savior of the world. I will do what is needed and necessary to save my people from their sins. Ephesians 6. Thought I'd close with this. In conclusion, be strong, not in yourselves, but in the Lord. That's the challenge. We have difficulties. We bring it to the Lord in prayer. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on God's complete armor. For our fight is not against physical enemies. It is against organizations and powers that are spiritual. We have to understand that there's a spiritual world around us that is a world of darkness. And that darkness tries to inflict its opinions and its desires and all those things upon us. So don't get caught up in all the things that happen in life. Realize there's a spiritual battle. We are up against an unseen power that controls this dark world and spiritual agents, the very headquarters of evil. Therefore, we must wear the whole armor of God, be able to resist the evil in the day. And that even when you have fought even after you have fought to stand still, you may still stand your ground. Take your stand with truth as your belt, righteousness as your breastplate, the gospel of peace firmly on your feet, salvation, forgiven of sin as your helmet. Don't let your mind be a place of contrary thoughts. And in your hand, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And above all else, be sure you take faith. I believe in God the Father. I believe in God the Son. I believe that He died on the cross for my sins. I believe that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I believe that when my life shall end, I will be in heaven with Christ. I believe that nothing can separate me from the love of God and the hand of God. I believe that God is walking with me every moment of every day. I believe that God will never fail me. I believe that God hears every prayer that I pray. I believe that God walks with me and He talks with me. I believe that every breath that I breathe is a breath from God. You see, what we believe holds us in our faith and holds us to Christ. I think Jesus knew what needed to be done. And in His prayer, He was searching through the prayer to find again the purpose that moment was made for. Father, if it's possible. He was searching for, again, to land on the rock of truth, that this moment in time was made for him and for his death upon the cross. And so he received the strength that was needed. He received the spirit that's needed. He received the help that was needed to stand forth and say, guys, they're coming. Let's go meet them. There was no defeat in Jesus, because what was a question, what was a challenge, what was presented as an impossible, impassable situation, he met in prayer, and everything was changed. That's us. We meet in prayer with Christ, and everything changes. Let's go live our life for Christ and meet the challenges that come to us. Amen? Father, we thank you. We beseech you, by all the mercies of God, that we present our bodies as a living sacrifice, acceptable to you. We are not in a stranglehold of life. We are set free because Christ has set us free. And we are not going to be conformed to this world, but we are going to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, the renewing of our heart, by receiving the power of the Spirit and the love of God that holds us in each situation of life. We thank you that we are more than conquerors through Christ. We believe, Lord, what you have given to us. We believe the truth of your word. And it is alive within our hearts and minds. It is what keeps us moment by moment and day by day. We are safe. We are safe in your hands. Nothing can separate us. And no matter what trial comes, we can pray. We may not know which direction, but we bring both to you and ask you to give us and solidify the right step as we walk with you. We thank you for this. And as we are going through this season, let us be aware of the great sacrifice you are making for us to be in this place of safety, of security, and eternal salvation. We thank you that we are yours now and forever. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ha ha.